entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Looky here, bitches. You're listening to the DJ New Style Show. I'm over here fucking your mother, you fucking dick knobs. Dude, man, I got fucking nothing to say. Fucking you do some shit, man. Fucking hell. I'm like fucking out of sentences, man. Fucking in my head, it's nothing.
I say, hey, baby doll, you swing your shit like a wrecking ball. 5 foot, 11 inches tall, dark brown eyes, caramel skin. I ain't seen you in my life, sugar, where you been? Tell me, who's your friend? Cause this is my man, so won't you set it off between them, love, cause that's the plan. Hook your friend with my man, come sit in my lap. I'll listen to your yak, then I'll bust my rap. I'll size up your gap, you size up my phone. It's sticking meaty like a hot calzone. Fresh out the oven with the all-night loving. I freak the style you like, but don't get from your husband. And when I call, just tell him I'm your cousin. I got a dozen cousins just like you.
Reach out.
To mine, I murder thrust with no cut. I never been stuck from neck back to butt. Handcuffs and stuff as I watch you strut. To the window, your lens out with your silhouette. Then you bend low, lick my crack to my chest. I defend my manhood and co-represent. I command my sex with a harmony text. Mysteries and signs equate the dumps to destinies. Blessed me, varieties of ecstasy. You do me so slow, I blaze indeed. I nickname you Luna Beam, LSD. IBI, any queen who is deceit. If you could dissect me in my scientific scene. Speckle, baby, I'm real. Come on, red bone steel and Cherokee appeal.
In my tracks, run up and that's at any time in your life. Have you been blessed? No need to second guess. You be banging like that dress, hanging off your frame. If it's all the same, let me throw my game, hit you for your name, plus your area code. I might overload, but that won't explode, baby doll, until you're ready. My name ain't Crazy Legs, hun, but I can rock steady, blowing up the spot like J. Paul Getty.
Want me to say
the DJ New Style Show. Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet. No. 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 No.
Oh, snap! Yes, welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, it's the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. Thank you for stopping by. You know who else is going to thank you in just a jiff? You guessed it, that's right, Rammstein!
Voltier das Bett in Flammen sehen.
Wah! All right, we can turn them down just a touch. Just a little bit. Because, you know, I want to thank you for tuning in. It's the DJ New Style Show. As I've said before, your Tuesday Night Miracle. Introducing for, you know, I don't know how many times now, your bald friend, my bald friend, Frank the Germ Freak. Germ Freak, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Ken? How you doing? I'm glad to see you didn't call me bald fuckface.
Oh, like I'm sorry. I forgot. Ladies and gentlemen, bald fuckface Germ Freak. I'm sorry. Thank you for keeping me on my toes. Yes. This 40-year-old fuck.
Excuse me.
What?
Nah, I'm 39, actually.
Excuse me?
Nah, I'm 39.
You're 30. So somebody's had a birthday.
It was my birthday yesterday.
Really?
Because June 8th.
I'm not going to wish you a happy one again. I've done that.
No,
in
no, just one time is enough. Well, when you wished me a happy birthday, you said happy birthday, fuckface.
I certainly did. I mean, why would I be?
Well,
nice
let me
to
ask you this: Is it gay for a guy to wish another guy a happy birthday?
That's a very interesting question.
It's gay.
Is it gay to wish another man a happy birthday? I think if you end it with, comma, fuckface, probably not gay.
So what you did was you utilized some type of slur, if you will, just to make it less gay. Is that what you're trying to say?
I wanted to straighten it up a little bit. I wanted to straighten it up, make it a little more hetero.
I
mean, you're a friend of mine, and you're having a birthday. I need to express that, you know, it's good that you're continuing to have birthdays, despite being of an advanced age and not so advanced intellect. I want these things to continue, so I want to wish you a nice day, but I don't want to come off like a fag, you know. So you know, happy birthday, fuckface. Probably is the best way to go. Kent,
right.
The movie guy is checking in here. He says it's not gay, and I don't know if you want to call.
Yeah,
the
I don't.
Show,
I don't think it's gay, but apparently you do.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that haven't had the chance to wish you a happy birthday. If you want to go ahead and wish Frank
it's not
a happy
that big
birthday,
of a deal.
If you listen, if you want to give him some birthday wishes, feel free to call the show. The number is 316-768-4472. That's 316-768-4472. Call the DJ New Style Show. And believe me, don't shy away from calling just because you don't want him to have a good birthday. You can talk about whatever it is we're talking about. It doesn't have to be a birthday wish. Thank you very much. So, Frank, really, our joke here of having to round up, it's kind of coming to an end.
It is coming to fruition, isn't it?
The way it works, I call you a bald fuckface. You say, you know, some other thing, and then I call you 40 years old, and you indicate that you're not 40, and I say just round up. And that's going to come to an end because you're rapidly approaching 40. And just to keep it in your mind, to keep it how crisp and clear it is that you will be 40 soon, I've decided to put a countdown on DJNewStyleShow.com that has been there. And what are we up to, Frank? Have you been watching this like a hawk?
Well, we're up to like 364. I don't know what the thing is at this point.
See, that's a
it's a countdown to my 40th birthday.
See, to say what are we up to is a mistake because it's what are we down to? How many days of 30 of your 30s are left? How many days? 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak, who's aging rapidly. Who's this?
Hi, it's Brittany Pablo. Happy birthday, Germ Freak.
Oh, thank you so much, Brittany. I appreciate that.
Yes, happy birthday, Germ Freak, indeed. Thank you very much, Brittany. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to let him know, you know, I thought he was looking pretty good. I wasn't going to guess him a day over
45.
A day over 45, she said.
Listen, you know, I was told by a woman not too long ago that I looked much younger than 39s, and I just want to let you know about that.
Was she 87 and in a wheelchair? And just where's my Charlie? You look a lot like my Charlie did before he went to fight the Japs.
I mean, she was using a tissue quite a bit to wipe the saliva that was dripping off of her mouth.
It's true. Yeah. It happens. So, Brittany, you know, Brittany wishes you a happy 45th.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I really do. It's a little embarrassing, you know. It's everybody's got birthdays. It's not like it hasn't been done before.
No, we're fully aware that it's not, you know, a new trick that you've invented. There's no way you'll copyright the birthday.
You know, I notice that when it's your birthday, you always say it's the best day of the year, don't you?
Because it is. 316-768 4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with a bald fuckface. A birthday boy bald fuckface. Who's this?
This is the King Man, Elvis Presley.
Oh my God, it's Elvis!
My God.
Yes!
Elvis!
Yeah!
Oh my God! Huge fan. I can't believe you're calling.
I got something to say to you.
Yes, King.
I wonder if you're a little fuckface tonight.
Are you fuckface tonight?
You know, that means a lot to me. That even what he said doesn't matter, it means a lot to me.
Well, I mean, being able to, to call from beyond is amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you so
much,
Elvis.
He truly was the king, I would say. So how do you feel, Frank? I mean, you're just clinging on to every day of being able to say you're in your 30s, aren't you? You're just dreading this.
Ken, I have never been more miserable. I'm really busted up about this whole thing. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I feel awful, and this age thing is just really bothering me. Can you tell?
I mean, do you even see yourself as someone who's 39? What is your own age when you think of yourself? How old do you think you are?
I act like a 25-year-old. You know, I'm at the point where I'm embarrassed to tell people how old I am. I'm at that point in my life.
You may act like a 25-year-old, but you have the tastes of a 25-year-old in 1973. So it's not like you're very modern. You seem very old because your choices in entertainment and everything, they're very dated.
Right.
Very dated. So it ages you. If you were 20, you know, pretending to be a 25-year-old, and you were into some relatively new stuff, and you said, you didn't say things like, I've never heard of that, constantly in every conversation, then maybe people would think that you're you have a crisper mind, that you're a bit younger. But no, you're approaching the age that a lot of people think you are. I pick 40 out of a hat, Frank. I just pick 40 right out of a hat when I look at you. I see a 40-year-old man. Afraid. Coward.
Listen, I have very few wrinkles on my face, number one.
That's true. I mean, not that I notice or anything like that, Frank, but you don't look like a haggard old man. You look like an old man.
Oh.
I mean, you know, let's just face it here. Uh-huh. So have you come to terms with the fact that you're 39? I mean, is this something that you just wake up and you look in the mirror and you go, 39, man?
I still cannot fathom the fact that I am this age. I'm closer to 50 than I am to 20. Are you aware of that?
That's true. And you know what, Frank? Listen.
It saddens me, and I'm sick of these people who say it's just a number. Fuck that.
It is.
Just a number.
You're as young as you feel.
Shut the fuck.
You're
it's
as young
no,
as you feel,
it's a,
Frank.
It's not a number.
Yeah, it is.
Okay? It's a death sentence is what it is.
Why is it a death sentence to you? Explain that.
Because I'm that much closer to death. I'm halfway to 78, for Christ's sake.
Well, that's true. You are. But
I don't know what the average age is for a man nowadays, but I would assume it's under 78.
You know what? I don't know either, but I do know that you're closer to it than I am.
That is true.
The thing is, when we were doing our weekly meeting for the show, I think it was your birthday when we were doing that, and you kept saying to yourself, muttering, "Hi, I'm Frank. Hi, my name's Frank. I'm 39 years old.
Hi, I'm Frank. I'm 39. Saying my age. Yeah, hi. Yeah, hi. How you doing? Hi. Yeah, I'm 39. Yeah. Can you tell me what your age is? How old are you? Yeah, I'm 39. Yeah, hi. How you doing? Hi. What is your age, please? I'm 39. I have to get used to saying 39.
But you don't. No, who greets people by saying their age? Especially, I mean, beyond the age of 8, your age isn't that big of a deal anymore. I mean, the only time an adult with a job and a family would ever want to know the age of somebody is if they were trying to fuck high school girls. That's really it. They want to just really make sure that they're getting that fucking learner's permit sometime soon.
But I have the mentality of a child. Don't you understand? I cannot be 39 years old.
Hi, my name's Ken. My name's Ken. I'm 28.
Hi, I'm Ken.
I'm 28.
Hi, I'm 39. How you doing?
Oh, how old am I? I'm 28.
I'm 39.
Do you do that often? Do you rehearse or pre-rehearse situations that may or may not come up?
No. I was just wanting to see what it felt like on my lips to say that I was 39. Hi, my name is Frank, and I'm 39 years old. I'm 39. Hi, I'm 39. Hey, how old? I'm 39. I'm 39. You know, this is my last year of my 30s. I'm not even in my 20s anymore. I'm not even in my 30s. I'm going to be in my 40s.
Do you realize that, like, in your 30s, you didn't do this every birthday, right?
The age of 30 hit me really hard.
Okay.
But then from 31 to 38, I was okay.
You didn't care. You didn't rehearse the statements and everything.
No.
But now you're going to be doing it again next year.
I am.
Hey, what's going on? I'm 40. Hi, I'm Frank. I'm 40.
Oh God.
How does that sound? I mean, it rhymes almost. You know, it's got alliteration. 40 Frank. Frank 40.
I don't know if you've ever heard of, an individual called OGA. His name is Tom. He said to me, he says, 40's not so bad, 41 is worse. And I see what he means that, because once you get into the 40s, you know it's all downhill from there. 40, you know, but once you know you're into the 40s now, you're like in the guts of the 40s.
Did you say OGA?
Yes.
The one that got away?
Yes.
He's always watching you.
I don't know what that is.
He's all, you know what it is. Oh, yeah.
I know what it is, but I can't hear anything.
Yeah. Private eyes. Watching you in your pal talk room. He just comes in sometimes. He wants to just check it out, and then he leaves right away. That's OGA. I leave right away. My name's OGA. Hi, I'm Frank. I'm 40 years old. How are
Hi,
you?
I'm 39. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Frank? I'm on DJ Newstar. Oh, how old am I? I'm 40.
Yeah, I'm 30. I'm 39. How you doing?
You may as well just practice saying 40 now. Because then you know what it is? You'll get to accept the fact that you're 40 and not have to do this again next year.
Well, you know what the situation is as follows. I've surpassed the age where I can remember my parents being. I remember my mother being 39.
Yes.
I remember my father being 39. I've surpassed the, and it's a very odd feeling in your system when you could remember your parents being an age that you are now.
That has to be really weird too. Like it happens. I mean, because it hasn't happened to me yet. Obviously, I'm still a young person. I'm on the front nine. I'm enjoying life. I've got the world by the balls. Basically, I'm just fucking kicking and moving and making things happen. But you, however, you're fading out and slowly gonna zip out of this earth. But I've seen pictures of my parents at my age. And you constantly hear, like, oh, when I was your age, I had two kids. I had a house. Blah, blah, blah. I did this. I did that. And you're thinking, like, holy shit. You know, I'm at this age, and they've done all this by then.
But when you look at pictures of your parents from when they were your age, what your age is now, don't they look like they were older, like more mature?
Yes. That's true. Anytime you go in the past and you see somebody your age, but in the past, they always look more mature. They always seem more of a an adult. They seem more cultured. They're wearing suits. You know, they're a little bit classier. And then you know, the pictures of you at this age, you're wearing a fucking Alf T-shirt. I'm guessing when you were 20, you're wearing a fucking sitcom T-shirt and fucking parachute pants. And your kids are gonna have to look at that. And they'll probably they'll think that's classy at that point. It's just a constant decline. That's what it is, Frank. A constant decline. Like you look at the people that went to a baseball game, wearing top hats and fucking 3-piece suits and shit. Now people go, they're wearing fucking jerseys. They're wearing tank tops. They're all fucking sloppy. It's just a you know you eventually slip and fall from grace as an entire society. So you seeing your parents back then looking more mature. Imagine what your kids are going to see in your sad state in those pictures. For example, Frank, the picture where you're flexing in your parents' kitchen wearing fucking shorts on the outside of sweatpants.
Yes.
That is going to seem to be very, very classy when, in fact, it's obviously a white trashy picture.
Excuse me? What do you mean by that,
I don't mean to tear you down, Frank. I mean, but you realize that there are people that have created things and have done things that you probably still enjoy and hear about to this day that have already gone on by 39. There are people that have only lived a short time that have done much more than you. Doesn't that make you feel bad? You had said once before that you're approaching the age of Elvis, and thank you to Elvis for calling in today. But he was what, 42?
I believe it was 42 when he passed away in 1977. Well, you know what's even worse is John Lennon was 40 years old when he died.
Yeah.
I was 10 years old when he died in 1980. And I can remember, wearing people wearing shirts, you know, 1940 to 1980, John Lennon. And I can remember a 10-year-old kid thinking, oh, my God, this guy was 40 years old. I'll never reach that age, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the age that John Lennon was.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling,
and when you're that age, I'm 40. I'm as old as John Lennon. No, me, I'm 40. Yeah, that's right, I'm 40.
When I look at what he's done, and what I've done, it's an embarrassment, for Christ's sake.
It is. It really is an embarrassment.
Do you realize that you're
39 now?
Yes. Do you realize that John Glenn walked on the moon when he was 39 years old?
Wow.
I get excited if I get a fucking Frappuccino at Starbucks, for Christ's sake. This guy's walking on the moon.
He was walking on the moon at your age. He had a life dedicated to fitness and science and every other thing to get him there. And you live in a basement and you talk on the internet.
What about, I know I'm not a big sports person, but I'm sure you've seen that video of Lou Gehrig where he's in Yankee Stadium and
giving
he makes
his speech. His huge speech. How old? He had to be in his 40s, right?
He was only 37.
Oh,
does
my
he look
God.
Like an old man there?
Yeah. Yeah, and he had the balls to say, listen, you know, I'm a great baseball player, but I won't be for long because I have a terrible disease. Thank you for everything. I've set all kinds of records in my 37 years, and that's it. Good day. And then he went away and he died.
I surpassed the age of Sam Kinison when he died. Jesus. I surpassed the age of John F. Kennedy Jr. Are you aware of that?
That seems a little odd. I didn't think he was that old.
Excuse me?
No, I'm literally saying I thought he was like 35.
No. I passed the age of Andy Kaufman.
Wow. And you know what? They died in their prime, Frank. They went out on top.
But this is the one that gets me the most.
You have to hit your prime before you can die. Okay, which one hits you the most?
This is the one that hit me the most. I have surpassed the age of Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, man.
Martin Luther King Jr. died when he was 39 years old. And I'm at that age now. Okay, so well, I'm at that age. I didn't surpass it, but I'm at that age. Now, when you see these speeches by him,
yeah,
do you really think he's that young? I mean, you know, I don't know.
He looks older.
He looks older.
I would say like 47, 45. I don't know. But the thing is, you know, years to come. Well, maybe not now with President Obama. But for years, he has been a staple in picture frames in African-American households.
And right so. I mean, the guy has a national holiday named after him, a federal holiday.
And I do know of some white people that would put pictures of Martin Luther King in their closets so that they can maybe get sympathy if a black man were to rob them. I do know of people that have set up,
you know,
that gimmick.
There's, all right. See, it's stuff like, you know, I got to be honest.
That's the truth. That's a true story. That's not a racial joke.
It really makes me feel very uncomfortable when you say things like that. It really does, because I don't want to be part of something like that.
But wait, what am I saying, though?
I don't want you saying that kind of stuff. It bothers me, and it really makes me feel uncomfortable. So let's please move on.
You know what, Frank?
Please.
You've made your point, and my factoid, my true story, not completely a joke, you know, has offended you for whatever reason. Because as a black man, you don't deserve to be insulted like this with these racial slurs that devised to cut you down.
You know what?
I apologize for saying terrible things about you and your people.
It's uncalled for, and you're simply doing this for a cheap laugh, and you're above that.
It's not a cheap laugh. It's a fucking true story.
Could we please move on with the show?
No, you know what, Frank? This is it. You are the one that brought this up, that you don't want to be such a part of this. You're not. I'm the one saying it. I'm the fucking person saying it.
Well, let me say this. I don't condone what you're
Perfect.
Doing.
Perfect. That's fine, but don't fucking
Could
come down to me.
On?
Don't come down to me putting a fucking ruler on my knuckles like this
Could
is
we
Sunday
move on,
school.
Please?
I'm sorry, Sister Frank. Do you need me to say a few Our Fathers as fucking penance for fucking breaking your rules? Move on then, Frank. You 40-year-old fuck.
Bastard.
You're so irate. I have no idea why.
Can we just move on with the what we're talking about here?
Well,
but
listen. What are we talking about? The fact that you're older
Let me ask you.
The fact that you're older than Martin Luther King?
Let me ask you a question. Okay?
Yeah.
You're going to be 30
yeah.
in a year. You're going to be 29 this year, is that correct?
That is correct. In July.
It doesn't bother you whatsoever, does it?
No.
Okay. Will 30 bother you?
No. I mean, let me tell you something. 30 will be like, well, I guess I'm in my 30s now. That'll be the extent of it. I'm not going to have some kind of a, you know, to put a chair and a hat on a broomstick and have it pretend it's asking me questions. Who am I? Oh, I'm Ken. I'm 30. Hi, yeah, I'm a 30 year old guy. How are you?
Hi, I'm Frank. I'm 39. Hey, it doesn't
bother me.
I'm 39. How you doing?
And the reason why it doesn't bother me, Frank, is because I know that there's no fucking set trap that goes off when you hit a certain age.
All right, but you realize you're going to be 30, and I don't want to give your situation right now, but you know. I mean, a lot of people, by the time that you were your age, they've, you know, had families and
sure.
things of that nature.
I'm an
okay?
unmarried guy, and I live in my parents' house. And I'm almost 30. I'm 29 years old.
And we made a bet that you would be out of your parents' house by the age of 30. And that is slowly approaching that age. So.
That's true. And we'll talk a little bit about that
Apologize.
Later on. But the fact is, Frank, it seems to be bothering you more that I live in my parents' house than it bothers me.
It doesn't. Right? It doesn't bother me whatsoever.
But
I don't
know
what the hell like it.
You try to bring it up and point it out as though you know.
No,
you know,
I'm not.
I don't want to. I don't want to say. You know, but
no, I'm
you know,
not
I don't
bringing
say,
it up to try and shit on you. I'm not trying to embarrass you.
No,
I'm just saying that
the thing is, you see it as something that is potentially embarrassing. However,
that's not my point. What I was saying is as follows. You could say I haven't accomplished anything in my lifetime.
Yes.
Okay?
Sure.
But yet, you know, I have three wonderful children, things of that nature.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. And their father is 40 years old.
Hi, I'm Frank. I'm 39. How you doing? Hey, I'm 39. How you doing? Yeah, could you please tell me what your age is? I'm 39. How you doing?
No one would ever ask you, please tell me what your age is. I mean, when is it that you have to verbally
sometimes
give your
age? Sometimes
you
have to put it on paperwork or
yeah,
or
but they're not going to hand you please fill this chart out. You know, I understand this is a new experience going to the doctor, but fill this chart out. By the way, how old are you? I am 39 years old. It's the worst. The worst thing I've ever heard in my life. You fucking fake interview yourself. Anyway, moving on. You're 40, by the way. Just want to let you know that. You're a 40-year-old man, Frank.
I'm 39. I'm 39.
You are.
And you know what? I think sometimes it's worse to be 39 than it is to be 40 because 39 is that anticipation of being 40. At least when you're 40, you know you're there already.
So why don't you just keep telling everybody you're 40 now is what I'm saying. Just cut it off. Who cares? Why are you going to live two miserable years when you can just skip one and just tell everybody you're 40 for 2 years? What's the big deal? You'll come to terms with it, and then you won't have to do it again.
You know,
everybody already thinks you're 40 or 40 plus to begin with.
All right, I don't need that comment. But number one is within a month and a half or so, my lovely wife is going to be 40 years old.
So she's older.
I'm going to have
That's
a
amazing.
40-year-old wife.
She looks so much younger than you. I wouldn't even have guessed.
I'm going to have think about it. I would
suggest that you've robbed the cradle with your wife because she looks so much younger than you.
All right, listen to me. Hi, what's your age? Yeah, I'm 39. Yeah, can I please have the age of your wife? Yeah, I'm 39. My wife is 40. Yeah, how old are you, please? I need your wife and your name. I'm 39. My wife is 40. Yeah, how old is your wife? She's 40. Hi.
No one asks this. You're creating.
I remember when she was fucking 16!
Yeah, and you probably remember when you were 9. So what's the big fucking deal? You're living in the past. Move on! Do new things, Frank. You have, I don't know, you have fucking what? 6 years left, maybe?
Oh my god.
Well, what if? What if you only had 6 years left? Now you're gonna spend it obsessing as each year comes, and you never fucking enjoy it. You gotta live.
You know, I need to do something really exciting this year. I need to go to do something exciting, skydive or whatever.
You need to use a public bathroom and not wash your hands.
No,
you need
I
to do that because that'll break you of everything.
No.
You need to have Ed McGrath piss all over your hands, and then you need to eat ribs. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
It's Brazilian Julie.
Brazilian Julie, what's going on?
Happy birthday, Frank.
Thank you so much, Brazilian Julie. Yeah.
You're welcome. I have two things to touch upon. One, I don't see why you're so concerned with dying and getting old if you're already a crotchety old man.
Oh my God.
I mean, you don't do anything a young person does.
Oh my
God. How could you feel 25? I'm 25.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Frank does occasionally, he goes out drinking and he has a real, real good time.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, see, I mean, sometimes he goes and gets drunk. He's like the typical college kid, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, with the washing of the hands and, you know, leaving your shoe on the side of the road because it has a condom stuck on it.
Yeah, there's that. There's that. Yeah. I mean, you can nitpick anybody. I mean,
I have a feeling number two is going to be worse. What's number two?
Frank, what did your wife get you for your birthday this year?
That's a good question. I didn't even think about that.
My wife got me some wonderful clothing, some games from my Wii, and she got me a wonderful, made me a beautiful dinner and an okay cake.
Okay, and what did you get for her birthday, or what are you planning for her? Are you planning anything nice, special?
I think I should, because she's 40, so I think I should do something special. I don't know what. If you could offer me some advice, I'd very
much appreciate
it.
You should limit her the number of dishes that she has to wash to 40 as a very special promotion for her 40th year.
I don't know, Frank. I don't know. Maybe do something nice and romantic. Do you know what romantic means?
Yeah, you're full of venom tonight, aren't you?
Julie.
Sweet Brazilian Julie's full of venom.
He was asking me for suggestions of an anniversary gift, and he said he wanted to do something special. And I said, well, what do you have in mind? He goes, I want to take her to that hair band play on Broadway. Real romantic, Frank. Real low-key.
Hey, Rock of Ages is sweeping the nation.
Okay, I think I made my point, guys.
Yes, we both
thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Julie. I appreciate it. So her point basically is a two-pronged age attack on you.
Yes.
Well, actually, no. There's insensitivity and old fuckedness. So why don't we take a quick break here? It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
What's your age?
Hi, I'm 39. How you doing?
Okay.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Ladies and gentlemen, from McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania, part of these great United States, I'm proud to introduce to you, me, Billy Mays, here to sell your product. Actually, I'm not. I'm only here to fuck your bottom. If you're a mother or a sister or an aunt, hell, I'll fuck any motherfucking bitch with a cunt in her pants. I'm the TV's pitchman. You might know me for selling OxyClean, Kaboom, and Orange Glow. I'll clean your fucking house and then I'll bang your wife. Don't even fucking think of buying my knife. I've got 17 attached right to my belt. I'll give you hell if you think you're gonna try to give me a welt on my face, because my beard is like armor, protects my fucking skin, and I'm a goddamn charmer in the gay community. I'm not a homo, though. Don't even fucking talk to me. I got a TV show. I'll break your fucking nose. I'll fuck your fucking wife. I'll sell you fucking products. Then I'll end your fucking life.
The DJ New Style Show.
And now, DJ New Style discovers
Auto-Tune. New Style 2009. Here we go. Clean it. I pre-treat my stains like I mistreat my women. Face slap a bitch, then it's back to my denim. Watch growing pains as I treat grass stains. Gently rub the liquid from this tip bottle of game. Detergent. Blow up grime like insurgents. I notice the ripped sock, I throw it out if it worsens. fucks with me, you get a ride in a hearse. And if you think you want to dry, your life ends with this verse.
Cause it's Sunday, yeah, I'm gonna do some laundry, yeah. Every motherfucking Sunday, yeah, we motherfucking do laundry. Shirts and underwears and socks. I love a laundromat like your brother love cocks. Broke ass hoes with clothes stained with drunk loads. Purchase old packets and pretend to read prose. Textbooks in the clutches of shook. They think they ass can't get robbed if they taking a look at a paragraph about math or grapes or rap. Man, your wallet gone now. Take it up with the A-Rag. Someday. Motherfucking niggas do laundry, yeah. Yeah. We told you niggas we gonna take you to the street, nigga. That's right. Grimy. Literally.
Lucky you, you're listening to the DJ New Style Show, dick.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show, djnewstyleshow.com. Download everything we've ever done, all our old episodes, subscribe to our podcast, enjoy our videos, our auto-tuned songs. Better yet, go to the Hear Us Talk blog, blog.hearustalk.com, where everybody, best in show, the awful hour, me and Frank post lots of things that you might enjoy. Isn't that right, Frank?
Yes.
It is. Don't front. Do not front on the Heroes Talk blog. Everything's blowing up there. A lot of good people coming together, Frank. What do you have to say there?
Oh, man. I want to say something about... there's somebody, a mutual friend of ours, I really wanted to talk about tonight.
Anybody we know? I mean, you say it's a mutual friend, but Frank, we share lots of mutual friends every week on heroestalk.com.
Okay. May I continue, please?
Yes, please do.
And there's something I want to say about this gentleman because I think he deserves some type of tribute or something. And let's just call him Dan. Dan from Cal.
So he's in Cal, like California?
He's in California. His
name is
Dan.
So he's. Yeah. Why don't we just call him Dan in Cal?
Couldn't think of better myself.
Is it North Cal?
It's North Cal.
Let's call him Dan in NorCal.
Yes.
Just to differentiate.
Yes.
We don't want to piss off SoCal Dan.
Right.
So let's. You had a few words you wanted to say.
Just a little back. You know, Dan grew up in the streets of Fremont, California, home of Christy Yamaguchi and MC Hammer. The city is named after John Charles Fremont, the great pathfinder, and that is exactly what Dan did as he chose a path, followed it, and with the help of his computer, an internet connection, and a taped and spackled but yet unpainted garage and a dream. What Dan started was the pioneer internet radio station known as Radio BBQ. The launch of Radio BBQ was in 2004, and its popularity spread like wildfire, serving up an original mix of talk and music featuring such shows as The Craig Coleman Show, The Brown Lodge, Eric's Archives, The Dumb Show, The Indigo, and from 10 to 12 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays, none other than DJ New Style.
Yeah, it's true. It was,
Did you have any insight you'd like to add of the Radio BBQ days?
Well, apart from my admiration of the Indigo, and as well as the Indigo Kitchen, Dan from NorCal was a tremendous, tremendous player in the development and the success of this show. Dan, pretty much... made it happen, I would say.
Well,
I kind of, if I can get to that, please. I'm sorry.
You're moving ahead.
What did you want me to do? Give insight as far as Radio BBQ goes?
Your days of being on Radio BBQ.
My days of being on Radio BBQ, I like to call them the salad days. The crispy, green, fresh, nutritious, good days of my life, which promptly withered and turned brown and became mildly edible if you were hungry. However, those tasty, crisp, fresh days at Radio BBQ, I'll never forget them. And I hope that even in senility, I remember them for as long as I live.
Can I go on?
Did I stop talking? That's your cue.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
We can't, by the way, we can't even fucking do a tribute to anybody without arguing. Okay.
Listen, after 2 years of what I like to call the internet radio station phenomenon that he is, Dan decided that he wanted to leave while on top. He did it for 2 years, and it was very time-consuming, very stressful. He accomplished what he wanted to accomplish. He got the station from being zero to being the best-rated internet talk station on the internet.
Dan from NorCal is the Barry Sanders of internet radio.
Yes.
Year after year, people have asked him, can you do another 2,000 yards for us? Can you go out on that field, run another 2,000 yards? Can you make the Lions something worth watching, Dan? Will you do it for us, Dan? And season after season, he refused, knowing that he had exhibited excellence in his career.
After 2 years, Dan set and accomplished exactly what he wanted to do, and it was time to move on. He decided to give up Radio BBQ.
Yes.
Leaving on top, much in the way that Seinfeld did in his final episode.
That's true. And I'm sad to say that Dan and Cal has died yesterday. I'm just kidding. That's the only place this seems to be going.
Can I finish, please?
Okay. Yes, please.
It was during this time where he decided to quit Radio BBQ and help raise his family. It was during this time that he was a frequent member on what's called Pal Talk, offering his insight on life and providing free advice to anyone who wanted it, often into the wee hours of the morning. I relished the days of watching Dan on cam, standing by his pool in his Bermuda shorts and his sandals, skimming and doing cannonballs off of the high dive.
Yes. Yeah, we do remember that.
I relish the times of watching Dan sit underneath his vertical blinds with his earpiece in his ear, his baseball cap on, and that stoned face that he always had.
Yes, we remember that well.
I'm not done, please. It was during this time when he was on Pal Talk that I met Dan in NorCal. We frequented the DJ New Style chat room, and we would often speak until very late at night. It was during this time that Dan realized the talents of Germ Freak. It was during this time that Dan realized that this guy is mildly amusing. It was during this time that DJ New Style was looking for a co-host of his popular internet radio show.
That is correct.
It was during this time that Dan recommended to DJ New Style to utilize the services of one Germ Freak to be part of the DJ New Style program.
Okay. Yes, I agree. That is true. I think a lot of people...
If it wasn't for Dan and Cal, there may not be a DJ New Style with Germ Freak program.
That's true.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Not only would Barry Sanders refuse again and again to come back and put on Lion Baby Blue and run, but he put the team together. He said, hey, best in show, DJ New Style, why don't you do something? Hey, Germ Freak, DJ New Style, why don't you do something? Hey, DJ New Style Show, why don't you come on my fabulous internet radio station? Why don't you do something for us? And you know what? The catalyst behind pretty much every decision, every monumental choice in the history of men has been Dan in NorCal. You may continue and hopefully conclude this.
I have a few bit more. Please don't rush me. Oh God. Okay.
Listen, I love Dan and Cal too. I do.
Do we
need an audio Wikipedia article?
No. This is something that I have written myself, and something that is to the heart. Okay.
I understand. I know there's no Wikipedia article on Dan. It was deleted. But continue, please.
Okay. Dan was like I said, he was a frequent member of the Pal Talk community for about a year and a half to 2 years. He usually staying on until very late because he was a time difference. He was in the West Coast time, Pacific time. So, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning to us was only 12 o'clock to him. Okay? But Dan needed a change. He was tired of giving free advice.
Yes.
Okay. What Dan decided to do was go back to work and use that wealth of computer knowledge that he had. He secured an entry-level position with a major computer company and skipped every rung of the ladder, went to the top, received a 40% increase in pay.
Wow, 10 minutes have gone by.
Yes. And only occasionally comes on Pal Talk now, although I talk to him almost on a daily basis. And it's if it wasn't for Dan, I just want to say he's a good friend. I think very highly of him. And if it wasn't for us discussing our love of 70s TV and Maude and
That's
his
right.
catchphrases such as, "Oh my God, you killed her," and his beautiful Kiki Tejada impression.
It's Nobody like knows that. What that is.
Listen, it doesn't matter. I just want to conclude the Dan and Cal tribute and say that as gay as this may sound, that I love Dan. And I know he feels the same way about me. And I miss him. And I just want to say thank you for everything. You've been there when I needed you, and I hope I've done the same for you. And I just want to wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much. This concludes the Dan Wright. Oh shit! The Dan and Cal tribute.
You are so beautiful.
Holy shit! It's a shame he died so young. You know. Younger than you, even. And he's done so much. I mean, you just yes. listed, I don't even know how many things.
That can be edited before it's finished, saved. Thank you.
You can stop obsessing, and then maybe no one will figure it out. Do you understand?
Thank you.
Do you understand? Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Whoa, shit! Whoa! Is Dan in NorCal everything that you hope for?
He's an inspiration. He's an inspiration. I mean, the way he wears that beard is unbelievable.
You mean the way he wore the beard?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. We'll miss you forever, Dan in NorCal. We'll miss you forever. Thank you for doing so much in such a short time. They take them so young. Well, that was interesting, Frank. That wasn't creepy at all. I mean, believe me, big ups to Dan. Love the guy. But you really took that to the next level.
I did, and it come from the heart.
It come from the heart?
Yes.
Touch a brother hot like that. Man, that's almost about as gay as germ chasing.
What? Excuse me?
Germ chasing?
Are you talking about those individuals who seek to get diseases?
I didn't know that you were aware of this, because when I first kind of said it to you, you had no idea. So you must have done research in between.
I did some
then.
Research.
You did. Now, why don't you tell us, Frank? I mean, can you even, first of all, germ chasing is the act of getting turned on by the potential of becoming infected with HIV. Now, for you, someone who's spent 40-plus years trying to keep yourself clean, keep yourself germ-free, away from AIDS, away from HIV, despite engaging in such risky behaviors as sappy speeches to another man, you probably can't even fathom the fact that someone would be turned on by trying to catch AIDS. How far
no,
is this?
No, you know, we were discussing this in a phone call, and we both realized something.
Yes.
We both realized that should I dare say it? That well, that we know a germ chaser.
We do.
Yes.
I would love it if this alleged germ chaser would call up. Now, this germ chaser has been described as a masturbator. He's been described as a whore master. He's given a very, very lengthy recount of photographing baseball memorabilia. He's told fantastic stories about having sex with whores in Mexico. He has had unprotected sex. He is Ed, the Masturbator McGrath. Ed, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Now, Frank and I were talking about this. It kind of came up in discussions, the idea of bug chasers, germ chasers. Have you ever heard of this notion?
No, I actually have never heard this.
Typically, it's a gay man. Not that we're not calling you gay, but it's a person that deliberately attempts to contract HIV by having unprotected sex with a person or group of people who are known to have the virus. They have bug chasing parties. They get together some as they call them negs and posies or whatever or actually gift givers. They call the people that are infected gift givers. And they go to town, no protection, and these people get turned on by the fact that they might get sex. Now, when we were discussing this, it kind of crossed our minds that maybe you're a subconscious germ chaser.
No, I just don't like condoms.
I think that the fact that you don't like condoms, you say you don't like it, you say there's a sensation issue, something like that. I think there's an underlying thrill of knowing that you're probably going to live after having sex with no rubber. Now, Frank, what are some of the acts that you know of that you know Ed has been involved with? Let's ask you,
Ed,
because you're an expert of Ed's sex life.
Ed, I hope you don't mind this, but Ed has anally fucked prostitutes without a rubber.
Wow.
Ed has licked the assholes of prostitutes without any type of dental dam.
Oh, God.
Well, that's child's play.
I apologize.
That's like playing with blocks with letters on them. Ed, you've done all these things. That's true. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as a person who engages in high risk behavior, naturally you've been tested. You know you are HIV negative.
Once. Yeah.
Recently?
Two years. Do you consider 2 years recently?
Well, no. I would consider it recently if you haven't had sex in those 2 years.
No.
How many partners do you think you've had since you've had your last AIDS test?
Oh, only about maybe 40 or 50.
Shit.
Now, out of that 40 and 50, how many was protection utilized?
I would say 35. Five, I believe.
Considering the fact that when you fuck somebody unprotected and you have sexual contact, you're basically fucking their partners as well.
And their partners' partners.
Yeah, you've probably had sex with a small African country. I would say you probably had. I would say that you've been linked in at least 3 degrees of separation to about 10,000 people. I would say.
Ed. These,
Ed, do you have a death wish, Ed? Because I've said this to you, and you said to me, well, you know, whatever happens, happens. You've said that to me, Ed. Why do you live like that?
I don't know, Frank.
It's that exact statement, though. Right, Frank? I mean, he says, who cares if I live or die, whatever. That means he doesn't really care if he gets it. And I'm saying that the fact that he doesn't care, the fact that you don't care, Ed, is like a subconscious desire to get it.
It could be. I mean, I haven't spoken to anyone professionally about it, but...
once you get the HIV, will that be enough for you?
I guess I could go for swine flu after that.
Now, what I mean by that, and I don't appreciate the humor, is would you continue having relations, sexual relations, if you did have?
No, I mean, I might with a condom, but not. I'm not that kind of person.
Ed,
if I knew I had something that bad,
yeah,
have unprotected sex with
people.
Well,
the thing is, Frank, when he finds out that he has AIDS, he would then become a gift giver, and he can engage in all kinds of bug chasing parties.
Well,
hey,
well,
there you go.
This is what's happening in Ed's life right now. Ed may be securing a job, and during that job process, he needs to get an AIDS test.
No, I don't. And,
Frank, you have it completely wrong.
What the hell is
I want you to fucking shut your dumb mouth and sit there and bite your fucking tongue.
You ass.
Ass. So here's how it breaks down. Ed, you haven't had an AIDS test in 2 years. You've been with 40 or 50 people that have been with, you know, a fucking gaggle of diseased people, probably, potentially.
Possibly.
So, yes, that's another way of saying probably. So, what's the reason for you not getting an AIDS test?
For the past 7 months, I've been out of work. What I'm fearful of is if I did get a
positive
test and it came back positive, then if I were to go work for someone, get insurance, then it wouldn't be covered because it was a pre-existing condition.
Ah.
So when I get a job, and I will get a job later this month or next month, that I will wait until I'm insured and then I will go get a test.
Now, you will get the test. Would you be surprised if there was a positive result for HIV on there?
HIV, yes, I'd be shocked.
You would be shocked. Would this break you mentally?
I don't know. I mean, you have to. I think you really have to experience that. I don't think I ever really want to or have to.
So what I want to propose here, Ed, is that since you seem to be so active on the show, you are a friend to me and Frank. You love calling in. You like hanging out with us on Pal Talk, Hear Us Talk, and all other places. You're a relatively involved friend and listener. When you get your AIDS test, would you be able to hold out opening the results until a live show?
Yes, I can do that.
Yes. So what we're going to do is you're going to get insured from your job that you will get in a month or so, and you will have an AIDS test performed on you.
You will
keep the results sealed and on camera somewhere. It will be videotaped, you opening the envelope and showing us the results.
And I will do that.
Listen, if there's herpes or anything on there, I want to know. I want it to be revealed here. I want the full fucking scale, the spectrum of STDs tested for and exposed. I want to know HPV, I don't give a shit. Whatever.
Crabs,
it is.
Everything.
Yeah.
Crayfish.
Yeah. Hep, whichever variety you choose. Yeah, did you say crayfish?
I was thinking of something else.
I just saw Jeff type that in the room and I had to fucking go back to my brain spam filter of shit that you say that I ignore. And yes, you did say crayfish.
Certainly hope I don't have that.
Yeah. Well, Ed, I appreciate it. You got to keep us informed.
I will.
Do not open those results.
I will not.
Awesome. Ed, thank you again.
Thank you, Eddie.
You germ-chasing motherfucker. You could be a gift giver.
Hey, I could always look towards that.
Thank you, Ed, the gift giver, McGrath. Gone in the show. I appreciate it, buddy.
Later, guys.
Thank you. That's going to be phenomenal. I think it's really going to be awesome, Frank. Do you think he's got... What kind of a disease do you think he has? Do you want to place a bet here? Do you think he has AIDS? Yes,
well,
or no?
Name name some of the STDs that are around.
I would say strep throat.
No, STDs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was confused. Influenza.
Is that an STD?
Yeah. Yeah, so when you get the flu shot, they're giving you a mild form of an STD.
Are you putting me on?
No, Frank. Why? Do you get flu shots?
I've had a flu shot.
Oh, my God. You've had STDs. Oh, my God. And if you get the swine flu, it's kind of like bestiality.
No, let me ask you, I'm being serious now. Are there any STDs that have been eradicated?
What the fuck? I don't know. I don't read the medical journals and shit. I'm sure there have.
You can't still get...
Speckle dick has been eradicated since the 6th century.
But can you still get that one affects your brains? Can you still get syphilis, or has that been cured?
Yeah, you can get the syph, but it's curable because I think it's a bacteria or something like that. I don't know. But yeah,
I think this is what I think Ed had. I think he definitely has some type of crabs. I think he has a mild herpes simplex too.
Honestly, you can't go with crabs because he would know. He'd be itching his fucking balls off, and he would just get it taken care of. The diseases that he might have are the ones that he wouldn't be able to tell.
Okay, I'm thinking that he has some type of herpes simplex too, and I think that he has, without a doubt. I think he has encephalitis.
you think he has the Nile, what was that? West Nile virus?
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. I really think he might be a carrier of HPV. Because I don't
think human papillomavirus?
Yes. Wow, it's amazing that you know that acronym. That unnecessary to know acronym. Yeah, I don't think there's a way to easily tell if a man has it. Unless he has sex with a woman and then she turns up having it. As far as I know, I don't think there's any really easy tests for it in men. But apparently it's a big deal in women, Frank.
Have you ever gone on the internet and looked at disease-ridden private parts?
Oh, it's the best thing ever. That was my favorite part of the health books in high school. Just going to the back and looking for the dicks that look like mineral deposits in the fucking the Carlsbad Caverns or something. they look like crustaceans because they have so many fucking growths. But yeah, I like to search for herpes every now and then. A nice Google image search. I'm doing it right now, actually, as we speak. Yeah.
Would you ever like in school? This is totally off topic, but in school, would you ever draw little pictures of private parts on the pages and say "go to page so and so"?
Well, no, I've fallen victim to the go to page gimmick. Where it's like, you want to see how long the loop can go, and then eventually it just doubles back. But I've never done the go to page whatever and have it end on a drawing of a dick or something like that. I've seen people do very inaccurate drawings of vaginas because I'm assuming they haven't seen one, or maybe they've heard what one looked like. So it ends up looking like a Picasso vagina. But no, never. Why? Was that your specialty? You would draw the penis on like the... page 176, and then...
No, I've never drawn a penis ever.
What? You've never drawn a penis ever?
No.
I think that's a little bit weird.
Well...
I think that if you haven't drawn a penis, then, you know, you have problems. I think to actually be deemed a healthy human, you have to have drawn a dick on something.
So you have?
Oh, absolutely!
So you admit that?
Yes! Yeah!
That's interesting.
Why? In school, if you pass your papers to the front, if you see somebody didn't fill their name in, you just draw a nice dick right on the name line.
But,
and they're like, yeah. You didn't turn in your homework. I'm like, yeah, I didn't. But there's this one with a penis in the name. That must be yours.
Right.
I can't believe you've never done that.
Well, no, but I have fallen victim to this go-to page and this page and that page.
Well, there's that.
And those were good times.
Yeah, it was a laugh riot, actually. It was amazing, Frank. Why don't we take a quick break here? It's the DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. It's hearustalk.com. The thing you do with your ears. And what is it, Frank? The thing you do with your what?
and the place to be!
How old are you? What's your name? How old are you?
Hi, I'm 39. How you doing? I'm Frank. I'm 39.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
I love that clip, dude. That's why we might as well take our time.
Oh! Yeah! I'm coming up raw in this bitch! Billy Mays here for R&B. I'm rapping for you because my name is Billy. I've got a fucking gay beard like I'm a big gay bear, wearing flannel here and every channel there. I got some good products, they're faggotly named. I know that I'm gonna get my fame. I've got a brand new TV show called The Pitch Man. Vince Offer is just the fucking bitch man. Slap chop, you can lick my nuts. I'm gonna fucking jizz in your goddamn ass or butt or whatever I'm allowed to say. Billy Mays don't have to adhere to rules anyway. I got blue flannel, who the fuck has that? No one does, not even Al Borland. I rap fat. Fuck you, I'm coming up moving. I'm grooving because Billy Mays is proven. Fuck you, look at the ding king. You had a fucking dent, now you don't. I'm the king, eat shit. I'll fix all your fucking appliances, equipment, whatever. I got epoxy that you roll like dough. You turn it into a fucking mug handle. Yo, honestly, that's the best idea ever. Where's your sister? I hope she's named Heather. Billy Mays here to fuck your sister. Riding her ass, I'm gonna give her a cunt blister. Cause I'm here to make the scene. I'm coming up because I'm bearded and I'm mean. If you come at me with a ShamWow, I'm gonna give you a motherfucking abdomen, pal. Break you open, then bend you over. Fuck your brand new wound, and then I'll... Listen, the awesome auger is gonna be drilling holes just like I did to your daughter. Every day and night. And then I take a little bit of a rest and fight. I gotta get a snack, so I eat South City Sliders. Where's your mother? I need to ride her. What am I gonna do? I'm... ripping off ShamWow with Zorbies too. Eat some shit. Vince Offer, my dick, suck it.
Hey.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good. But there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Hear Us Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Hear Us Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. DJNewStyleShow.com. Download every episode that we like to put out there for you. Listen to it. Love it. Live it. Subscribe to it. Be sure to check out Best in Show Radio every Monday and Thursday night, 8 to 11. And check out The What Show. That's 9:30 to 12:30. I had to think there for a second because they've shifted schedules a few weeks ago. And honestly, I'm a fucking scatterbrain. But go to thewhatshow.com. That's our buddies right there. Frank, how you doing? Do you have a nice break? Did you urinate?
Yes. No, I didn't have to.
Why not? Didn't drink enough water? A man of your age should have a lot of water. Well, you did your tribute, Frank. I want to do a little bit of a tribute and show you how it's done. I want to say congratulations to Sobers and his new wife. Thank you. That's it. That's the end of it. That's it. Our buddy Sobers was married, and we went to the wedding. I was a part of it, Frank. I was there. I was in the wedding party. And it was a very, very classy place. Some of you may have seen the pictures on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, whatever. Go to djnewstyle.tumblr.com, scroll down, and you'll see fucking magnificent photos of the venue.
I saw pictures of you bouncing off of a bed.
Well, yeah, there's that. I'm young at heart, Frank. I like to try to get an action shot of me jumping on a bed. I don't know. It was just something I did. It was maybe a little bit of excitement that we were in such a very high-quality room, which was part of a gigantic house, which was on a private island, basically. They would say it was a private island. It's part of a LBI. You know, it was.
Well, you, I mean,
really
you
nice.
Can't mention the place.
I'd prefer not to.
Oh, okay, I apologize.
I would prefer not to. How about that?
I apologize. I apologize.
I don't need everything out there, Frank.
I apologize.
My friendship with Lil Bobby Sobers began. No, I'm not going to do what Frank did for our buddy Dan in North.
Are you shitting on me for what I did with Dan?
I'm not. I'm not. I thought it was very sweet and endearing that two men okay. who are in love. Decided to use their relationship as show material.
Thank you.
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good.
It was much deserved. That's all I'll say. Let's move on.
Well, Frank, as I said, I was in the wedding, and
yes.
and I noticed that there were some challenges I had to overcome. Number one, very embarrassing. I'm 28 years old. Hi, I'm Ken. I'm 28. I'm Ken. I'm 28. And I didn't know how to tie a tie. Now. Do you know how to tie your own tie at 45? How old are you now?
As strange as it may be, I do in fact know how to tie my own tie. I've known how to tie my own tie since I was a teenager.
Yeah. So I figure I'm in the wedding. I'm going to get a tuxedo or something or some kind of a preformed tie that you just hook on behind everything. And it's all good. Some kind of a clip-on.
Right.
But
that's instead,
you figure the classy angle. They're going with a very classy place. They give me a very nice tie. And, of course, very nice ties do not have clips on them. And they're not pre-tied and permanently tied on a hanger in my closet. So I had to figure out how I was going to tie it.
Wait a second. You would have actually worn a clip-on tie. You would have worn that.
No, I would not have worn it. But typically in tuxedos, the ties are already pre-tied.
Now, are you that kind of jackass who has somebody else tie a tie around his neck and then give a tie to you? You're that kind of fucking... Are you one of those mama
I had no other options, honestly.
Oh,
I gave
God
it a shot. I gave it a shot, and I figured, okay, how bad could it be? I get Shawnee Murphy or somebody, and Shawnee Murphy ties the tie on him, loosens it, slides it over his head, and puts it on mine, and that'll be done. We'll be done with it, and I'll have the tie tied, and I won't even have to bother.
That just exudes gay overtones.
Well, it gets a little bit worse, right? And maybe you could tell me if this is gay in a second. Instead, I asked Sean to help me tie my tie. My fucking tail between my legs. You know, I'm completely embarrassed and I'm humbled. And he goes, "Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, sure, I'll do it. Whatever." I mean, that's how he talks because he's Shawnee Murphy. And he goes, "But I have to do it behind. I have to tie it from behind you,
boy."
So he takes the tie and stands behind me and starts wrapping it around my neck. And I'm like, he's gonna have to fucking rub his fucking his sack on my ass or something like that. I'm not doing this. I'm like, just tell me how to do it, please. And he told me, and I'm doing it. I'm sweating. It's really hot out. And I look over the fucking video guy they have walking around making the wedding video. He's decided to get some you know, lighthearted clips of the groomsmen getting ready.
This is why you were getting dressed.
Yeah, it was while I was getting dressed. He's standing in the fucking room with a camera on us. I'm taking off my fucking pants. I'm and the guy's rolling tape.
Did he see your ding-a-ling?
Well, I mean, I'm not free-balling it in the wedding. Oh. I mean, that would be a little bit embarrassing, I think. You know,
you don't
need a dick flop when you're walking to stand at the altar of a wedding. But it was a little bit embarrassing. Like he turns the camera. I'm like, I'm in my fucking jeans here. Do you have a camera? I got to take my pants off and be in my underwear on their fucking their collection of memories. This is what they need 20 years down the road when they decide to, you know, dust off a DVD player and play this thing. Say, like, look, there's Ken in his fucking underwear. This was a really necessary clip. So I know it's not going in the video. I know it's on the cutting room floor, but I'm worried that the cutting room floor might just be this guy's personal fucking hard drive. Where he sits there in between jerking off to some kind of a germ catching party, germ chasing party. He fucking looks at me in my underwear. Now, Frank, let me ask you something. Two prongs assault here, okay? Oh, sorry. Wait, sorry. I fucked that up big time. Two pronged assault on this.
Is it gay?
Is it gay, number one, to be filmed by another man while in your underwear, even if it was because you were getting ready for a wedding? First, that's the first prong. Is that gay?
Are we doing a question each?
I'm asking you.
I think it's extremely feminine. It's awkward. It's embarrassing. And it's without a doubt gay. You have become a gay person by letting him film you because you have could have said to him.
Letting him.
Excuse me, sir. Please stop. But you got some type of. Listen to me. You got some type of turn on and you got some type of sexual gratification letting him see your A's. As you were undressing.
No. I stood. He was at the. The room was a very open bedroom, and there was a center wall where there was a bed. So I was next to the bed, and concealing.
You
my
told me something. I was going to say, but you told me something in private. You told me that you purposely bent over so he could see your ass.
I didn't say that. I did not say it. And the fact that you're bringing this up, Frank, as something that I would have really said, disappoints me. Disappoints me because I did not do that. although that would be phenomenal if I did do that and hey sobers, look at your wedding video. I didn't do that though. I tried to conceal myself behind the bed. It was a very tall bed that needed steps to get you needed steps to get up. So I was trying to hide myself in there, and I go, hey, you know you think you got enough tape? And the guy's running. He's like, "Oh, this is just great. The lighting's perfect. The lighting's perfect." And at one point, he stops the camera and just fucking puts it on his shoulder. He's not recording anything, and he's just hanging out there now. Just a bunch of dudes getting dressed. This guy wants to just soak it all in. I'm gonna say it was a little gay. It's not like I wanted it to happen. The other prong, Frank, having somebody tie your tie for you. Gay.
It's not only gay, but it's incompetence, if that's even a word, and embarrassment. The reason I know how to tie ties because I used to work in a supermarket as I was a child, and we used to have to wear a tie there, so I would know how to tie a tie. But it is a thing that a lot of males have a hard time grasping, and I will give you that much. But at this age and time, at this age, you should know. You also don't wear a tie to work, so you're out of
practice. I don't. I wear fucking a button down shirt, brown sneakers, and jeans pretty much every day. I don't wear my brown sneakers every day, but I like them because I understand that brown is the new hot. But anyway, Frank, I did learn to tie my own tie after being thoroughly creeped out with Shawnee Murphy trying to tie the tie on me. I said, I'm just going to fucking do it myself. and I went into the next room away from the camera guy, and I tied it and I got it right in four tries. Four tries. Now, you ask me to do it now, I probably wouldn't be able to do it. But I was able to figure it out for that one day. And maybe in 5 years when I have to wear a tie again, maybe I'll do it again. I don't know. I don't need to wear a tie. That's what I'm saying to you, Frank.
Right. And you should, but it's situations like this where you're mortified at the fact and you have a guy rubbing his pelvic region against your ass. It's times like this that you need to learn how to. And thank God you did.
Yeah.
Thank God you did.
Yeah. It's true. I saved myself right there. Now, let me tell you about the food, because you obviously you're a fan of a good spread.
I enjoy food.
And not only are you a fan of it, you want to hear about it. Whenever I tell you that I've gone somewhere, you need to. Right. That's the first thing you need. Was there a good spread? Is what you always ask.
You yourself, Ken, you enjoy good spread. You like photographing your food, so don't deny it.
I am as close to a foodie as you can be without actually being one. I don't care about the. I just if it's good, I want to remember it. I take a picture of it. That's it. And I'll eat my food and I'll enjoy it. And Frank, let me tell you, the spread here at this wedding was phenomenal. They had what can be my only described as my favorite wedding food. Do you want to take a guess?
I'm assuming it was some type of fish sticks.
It was a type of meat on a bone, otherwise known as lamb chops. I cannot get enough fucking lamb chops, Frank. I went right up to the lady. I told her, "Hi, my name is Ken. We're going to be best friends for the next hour." And she sticks her hand out and says, "Hi, I'm name I don't remember right now." sticks her hands out and wants me to shake her hand. I look at her hand. She has a rubber glove on.
Oh, my God.
You know what? This lady's giving me extras. I'm going to shake that gloved hand. I shook it. I probably picked my nose at that point. I know I was itching my crotch because I had an underwear issue, I guess you could say. I had some bunching going on. My balls were a little twisted, so I had to adjust. So I probably picked my nose. I probably picked my ass and crotch as well. And now I'm about to get down and eat some lamb chops. Why not shake this lady's hand? So I did it, Frank. I shook her gloved hand, but it's not my problem. She offered it to me.
Shame on that lady. You know what? If you tell me this place, I will call the employer and get her name and have her fired.
Well, it wouldn't be the first employee they let go that day.
Oh.
There was a switch in the maitre d's, Frank. Apparently, they had everything planned. And let me tell you, this wedding went off with minimal hitches, okay? This is probably the only hitch that could have ever happened. And it was through, intense planning by Melissa and Bob. That's all I'm going to give you. Well, even though I already gave the fucking name, it doesn't matter, really. But they worked really hard to get this thing going perfectly. And the fucking day of the wedding, we're all, getting our fucking cocks filmed through the underwear by this fucking fag video guy. And we start hearing glasses just breaking. Like, a glass just on the floor. I'm like, oh, my God. Then we hear another one go off. Now I'm starting to think I'm doing it with my mind. I'm starting to think that I've developed telekinesis, an all-time goal of mine in life. And then I hear another one. And I say, you know what? If another one breaks, I might have a superpower. I start hearing another one and another one and another one. Amanda goes out. She goes and sees the maitre d', who was assigned to their wedding. And he's just standing there. There's all these broken glasses. So Amanda, offers to start helping cleaning up. The guy fucking just stands there, doesn't even say a word. Amanda cleans up the broken glasses, throws it out. And we don't hear anything else from him. And I'm all dressed. I'm waiting for the wedding to go off. And we hear Bob comes. He's like, guys, the maitre d' was drunk. The maitre d' was so filthy drunk this morning. It was like 11:30, something like that. He was so filthy drunk. He wasn't responding to words. He wasn't able to fulfill his duties, and they've asked him to go home. And if he tries to get back in, I need him silently removed.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm thinking, okay, what kind of a fucking lunatic is this? The guy gets kicked out of his job that he's going to come back and try to sabotage your wedding. So I'm on my toes the entire night, but he never ended up coming back. But what I was thinking was the guy was so drunk that he wasn't responding to people, but they sent him home. So they put him in his car and said, get out of here. I don't know if he's alive, but I do know that he's fired. They fired the guy. They replaced him with some other lady. And all I know is I got lamb chops out of the deal. And also I got a nice Swiss Army knife for being in the wedding. Nice Swiss Army knife.
Oh.
A nice tie.
You talking about the red one with the little Switzerland sign?
Naturally, right here. Boom, boom. And it's got several devices, such as a knife and scissors.
Yeah, we're all aware of what's
on. Yes, I know. But I'm very excited about this now. I've had knives in the past. I've whittled. I've taken twigs and tried to make spears that I could destroy things with. I don't know. Why is it that kids always want to make knives out of wood when they have a fucking knife? Can you explain that to me? I have a knife that I'm using to cut this wood, but I'm cutting it into a knife. That's how fucking retarded I am. Did you ever whittle? Did you ever do this?
What I would do is I would take a stick and just rub it along the asphalt street to make a nice spear.
Yeah, and then what would you do with it? Stab the ground, stab insects.
I really
wouldn't
do much with it.
You would just keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Well,
but are you carrying this pocket knife with you everywhere you go now?
I'm true to the name. It's a pocket knife. It's in my pocket. Wherever I am now, I could fucking fix anything. I've got this in here. And now I'm walking around, Frank. I have the pocket knife in my pocket. I don't like things in my pockets, but I'm keeping this in my pocket wherever I go. And it's got my initials on it. It has a nice blade. And I'm looking at this thing. I'm thinking, every time I reach into my pockets, I feel it there. And now thoughts are in my head. And I'm having thoughts of like, okay, I could really do some shit with this now. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is James. I wanted to wish a happy birthday to Germ Freak.
Wait, who is this?
James.
James?
But I wanted to wish him a happy birthday.
Okay.
But your show's not as good as the one show.
Hi, James. That's one for you. How many for me, motherfucker? Oh! But you're right, it is not as good as The What Show. 9:30 to 12:30, thewhatshow.com, Friday nights, in The What Show Room on Pal Talk. That is brand new. It's The What Show Room on Pal Talk. And you know what, James? I'm carrying a pocket knife now. I'm not exactly the guy that you want to be messing with, okay?
Do you feel all rugged now, like an outdoorsman with this pocket knife?
I kind of do. I feel like, you know what? Oh, you need that cut? Okay, hold on. Let me get my thumbnail in the little notch. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Hold on. Yeah. There we go. I'll cut that for you. There we go.
You know, are you preparing for a knife fight or a rumble? I mean, you wouldn't even know how to use a fucking knife if somebody came across you to try to mug you or something.
I mean, it feels like I have the thought in my head that okay, somebody stops. Somebody like you know wants to go. They have a weapon. I've got a weapon too. But in reality, the minute I'm faced with a fucking assailant, I'm not going to be able to get my thumbnail in there in time. I might pull out the fucking, the nail file. And you can't really do much with a nail file. I'll make their nails look pretty, but I'll get my ass kicked. And God forbid if I pull the toothpick out, I'm fucked then, aren't I?
You know what? The problem is you're taking this pocket knife. You say you feel it in your pocket every time you put your hands in your pocket. Isn't it weighing your pocket down to the point where
it is a little bit, but the problem is, Frank, the thoughts that it's giving me. I'm thinking now, I'm at Wawa. Yes, it's basically the South Jersey's answer to Quick Check. I'm at Wawa at the counter, and I'm getting my wallet, and I feel the knife on my hand. And I look at the person at the counter, and I think, you know, if I fucking pulled this thing out, even as a joke, I could get fucking arrested. Could I get arrested? Just pulling out a fucking knife that isn't even open? Could I? I mean, this person could genuinely be a dickhead and say, he pulled the fucking knife on me. And yet I still have the thought of like, yeah, you could fucking just, listen, you could just fucking pull this knife out and end this dude and you could have all the sandwiches. And these thoughts are in my head and I don't think I should carry this thing anymore. I really don't think I should. Because let me tell you, when it comes to knife fights, I don't stab, I slice.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, Steve the LARPer says you could pull a paper bag on someone and be arrested. So, I mean, yeah, I don't want to get arrested just because I have a sense of humor or, you know, voices telling me to do things in Wawa. I don't think it's right. Have you ever carried a knife on you?
I mean, I did have a Swiss Army knife, you know, as a child, and I guess I carried it along with me. But, you know, the novelty is going to wear off, I would say, in a couple weeks. You're not going to you're not gonna keep that in your pocket for a couple weeks. You won't have it there anymore.
Yeah. You know what? You're probably right. However, there are people that are true to the pocket knife until the day they're going to die, I guess. Like Amanda's dad has a knife that he cleans and sharpens and everything. And no matter what it is, anything that needs to be cut, that knife's coming out. We were at a wedding or at a nice dinner or whatever. He's like, oh, let me see that chicken. Pulls a knife out, cuts a piece of chicken, and takes it. He's cutting with a pocket knife. He's like, don't worry, it's clean.
You know what I did enjoy was in the Swiss Army knife store. Have you ever been to there?
No, never.
They have an actual oversized Swiss Army knife that is like a little that works on its own. Like the little mechanisms will move up and down, and it's like a little a machine. It's a Swiss Army knife, and it's like a little motorized gizmo.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is pretty cool.
But you know, listen. If it makes you feel secure to have that in your pocket, rubbing against your balls, then go for it.
Don't fuck with me, all right?
See.
Do not. I can open bottles and I can cut your throat.
Do you have a favorite?
How many devices do you think I have?
Device?
Because the answer is one. Do I have a favorite?
Yeah, my favorite was always the corkscrew.
Why? That's like the most annoying one that gets hooked on your pocket. Like,
I don't know.
Really? You just picked one. Sometimes they have like a magnifying glass. Sometimes there's a spoon.
That's not bad.
You know, but I like the scissors. I like the idea that I could cut something at right. A fucking moment's notice here.
Right. Because that always happens.
Oh, hold on. I've got something in my teeth. Oh, wait. Look. The toothpick.
Oh.
Handy dandy right there.
Very nice.
Oh my God, I've got a splinter. Let me get my tweezers and remove this thing. Brong, right here. Wonk. I'm cured instantly. One device. And you know what? If I'm getting carjacked, give me a second, sir. Okay. Now it's time to fuck with me. Now you tell me you want this car. Is this the Honda that you want? I think you should move on. See the blade? Thank you.
Wow. Yes. Wow. You're taking this a little too far.
Don't fuck with me, Frank, is what I'm saying. But I think it was a good gift. I've always liked the Swiss Army knife. And I will continue to carry it with me. I don't think it's a weird thing to do.
I give it 2 weeks.
I don't think it's as weird as what you've told me you did with your kids. Okay, me carrying a knife is not as strange as the places you go for fucking walks with your kids. Now, if I'm to think, I'm going to go on a walk with a child, my niece or my nephew, you know, he can't walk yet, but I'm going to maybe go on a sidewalk to a playground. I'm going to go to maybe a schoolyard or something, a park. I'm going to go to those places. Where do you take your kids for walks, Frank?
We walked around the cemetery.
Are you a fucking family of goths? Why are you doing this? Do you all have fucking demonic, gothic names?
Well, listen. We have a cemetery probably about a half a mile from where I live, and my daughter is aware of it, and she says, "Oh, let's walk by, you know, by the cemetery and this and that." And I, you know, I says, "All right." I says, "Are you sure you want to go there? It's really not a happy place." She goes, "Yeah, I want to go there.
I thought it was Sesame Place."
Yeah. So, long story short, it's weird because it's like an Asian cemetery, and it's a combination Asian cemetery and Hispanic cemetery. There's either Asian stones there or Hispanic stones. So, you know, we're going in there, and you know, they were fascinated by looking at I guess death is fascinating to children. They're at the age where they're fascinated by it. But they were just looking at the one, look at the different tombstones, the different shapes and different colors, and some had pictures on it. And
oh, those are the worst.
Yeah.
They have those little stuck-on, you know, black and white pictures, all-weather finish on them.
Yeah.
Like, do you need to see who's there?
Well, it was sick because one was like a 12-year-old boy
who
passed away. And my daughter was so touched by it that she picked up some... what she was thinking flowers or actually dandelions and put them on the tombstone.
Here you go, kid. Get riddled with weeds. I hope the taproot goes through your eye, you fuck. How dare you not be 13?
Yeah.
But it's the worst. The ones with the pictures really creep me out. But
it's it is
depressing. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's very depressing, and I said, you know, and then I start, you know, and remember, they're only like 5 and 7, so... You know, they're running around the cemetery like it's a park, and they're looking at look at this one, Luke. Oh, look at this cool one. This you know, and you don't know if the people are in that building just staring at you. You know what I mean? I was afraid I was going to get locked in because it was getting pretty late. And
well, now what's the saddest though? When you see the picture on the thing, or you see a grave that's just been overrun with plants, shrubs that were planted beside it. Oh, we'll keep your grave real pretty, Grandpa. We'll be there every Sunday. And next thing you know, you don't even see the stone. All you see is a fucking a boxwood hedge.
I myself do get a fascination seeing old tombstones. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, there were some there from the early 1850s, and I find that pretty fascinating because to think that, you know, that there's somebody buried there who from that long ago, and you know, I don't know. I find that fascinating. I've always found that fascinating. Have you? Do you?
Well, how are you going to feel when your tombstone says basically that you were 40?
I see.
Well, no, I do. You know what? When I go there, I always want to see what's the oldest one I can find.
Real
quickly. I'm not going to. And it's usually like a weathered, thin piece of like fucking white rock.
Right,
and it's got some, you know, writing on it. It's got tilted. Like a paragraph on it. They wrote like an epitaph or whatever for the guy.
And sometimes I'll see like, what are they called? They're tombstones, but they're just placed on the ground. They're like plates. They're not like really high
it's
up.
It's like a marker, and it's like you'll see, like, just the name, the dates, and maybe, like, if they were in a war, you'd see a country or a flag or something on it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I don't know. As a kid, I used to feel bad walking on the dirt where the fucking people were.
Right.
Did you ever do that? You felt like you had to walk in between the stones and not, like, over the graves?
I would always walk where the feet would be. I wouldn't walk like where the chest would be. I would walk where the feet would be, so it wouldn't be that bad.
What's the difference? So it wouldn't be that bad.
Well, at least I'm not standing on top of their chest. At least it's just their feet.
I mean, you're stepping on them as it is. There are walkways, you know? I don't know. The worst is the fucking the blowhard asshole that has to have the fucking the gigantic obelisk in fucking Morris County, New Jersey. Like you've contributed everything. Like, there's, you know, the gigantic tower graves, the fucking big statues and shit, and it's all surrounded by simple, you know, stones. But this one fucking guy's family thought he had to have the biggest fucking monument ever. Because he's the big, because he apparently did something with his life.
I mean, there's one where people have it as a car, shaped as a car, or Cadillac or something like that.
I saw one that was shaped like a bass. And it said
bass guitar?
Yeah, and it said love ya on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see.
Kind of creepy.
Yeah. So
are you taking your kids to this setting? It's just
they were fascinated with it. They wanted to.
I think it would give them nightmares. Their kids are still pretty fucking young.
Yeah.
They're going to eventually put two and two together that, you know, old people, we see them and then we don't, and then we see an extra stone in the fucking cemetery.
What? It was kind of a little bit of a wake up because they realized that not just old people die.
That's true.
And that's by seeing that 12-year-old kid.
I would like to refer back to the movie My Girl when they asked, "Who goes in this small coffin, Daddy?"
Mm-hmm.
And then it was none other than Thomas J. Can't see without his glasses.
I never saw the movie, so.
You should. You should, because he can't see without his glasses. And honestly, his mood was blue. It's a sad, sad movie, Frank, but you shouldn't be taking your fucking kids to the cemetery. I mean, should be doing all American things with them, like taking them to the, you know, sports games and partaking in their activities. I mean, your kids are very active kids, right? They have a lot of structure in their lives.
I bought them a one of those pools that are you blow up. They're not like little baby pools. They're sort of semi legitimate above ground pools, but that you just blow them up. You could have it up there in like a half an hour. Are you familiar with it? Did you get them at Toys R Us at about $350?
Yeah, I'm impressed that you got it set up.
I didn't say that. I got it set up.
You just bought it.
It's been sitting in my car in the box for 3 weeks.
What have your kids been doing now that they don't have a pool and they're obsessed with death? I mean, do they have like tennis things or?
There's a community a pool that we belong to in town. And you know, Kayla has the activities and whatnot.
What kind of activities?
Well, she likes to dance. She does hip hop, jazz.
Oh.
And we had her recital on Sunday.
Did you say she does hip hop?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. That's Are you familiar with what hip hop is?
Yeah, pretty familiar. I'm amazed.
Could you tell me what it is?
Because
I have no idea.
You don't know what it is?
I don't know what that means. Hip hop. Is that like bebop?
It's you know, a nice nice music. Like they dance to stuff like this.
Oh. I like that. You like that?
So you went to a recital or something?
Here's another one. Yeah, yeah. Wait, hip hop is a form of music like blues and jazz. That's what hip hop is?
Yeah, it's something like that.
And so how long has hip hop been around?
Pretty much
Is it a new form of music?
Longer than you, I think.
Excuse me.
So it was something like this?
It was a little quicker beat.
Oh, so it wasn't like R&B.
So
you went to the recital, I guess, for one of these hip hop dances.
Yeah, and the recital, you know, it's not a fancy recital. It's just like in a school, whatnot. And there's nothing more pleasurable than watching kids that are not yours try to dance. It's a great way to spend your Sunday afternoon.
They're the worst things in the world. Those fucking dance recitals are probably the worst thing you could ever encounter in your entire life. I went to like see my niece. She was like four, and she was in one of these things. I think I went to two of them, and I had to tap out. You would go to these things, and like the person that you wanted to see was in like a 4-minute number, a half hour into the show, and then like you think you can go, but you can't because she's in something else at the very end of the show, like 2 hours later.
Right, the finale or whatever.
So
what
now you have to watch the girls do their hip hop dancing, the boys do their fucking break dancing or whatever, and then the fucking soccer moms that decide to learn to waltz or something like that. They're part of the goddamn show too.
Well,
and then everybody comes out.
I went there prepared. I was playing with my kid's Leapster toy.
What's a Leapster? I don't understand.
It's like a little video game. You put it in your hand, and you can play the different games with it.
Yeah.
Like go through mazes and stuff like that.
Jesus.
I played that, and what are you gonna do?
I go there and you get your ticket because it's such an exclusive event, and then I just mill about and get the snacks. And count the minutes, and in between performances of my niece or whoever I went to see, and then get ready to leave.
And tomorrow's actually a very big day because my son Luke will be graduating preschool.
Oh my goodness! So has he mastered the art of singing and waiting for daddy to be able to take care of him?
Oh.
Like honestly, the only skill you learn in preschool is that you have to be somewhere else. That's it.
It's called the moving up. Oh, excuse me. It's the moving up ceremony, and yeah. It's a sad day because none of my kids are going to be in preschool anymore, and he's going to be moving on to kindergarten, and it's a very sad day.
And he has become a man, and he's very independent right now. He's gone from just being in a place, basically a placeholder for a few hours a day, into a placeholder where he'll scribble on paper.
Right.
You know what? What I just thought of something, Frank, that I've never even asked you. And it's got to elicit some kind of a reaction. When you go to an event, again, these recitals or whatever, they give you the ticket. And then to allow you back in so you don't have to pay admission, they give you the stamp.
Oh, boy.
Is that's something you're familiar with?
I go through my whole life not having to touch people avoid touching people any way I can.
Yeah.
But when you have to go to these events where they put that little fucking rubber stamp on you, all my trying and all my sweat and energy to not touch people is defeated.
It is.
It's defeated because when you touch me with that rubber stamp, you're touching me with everybody else's fucking skin flakes.
And it's years worth. That
absolutely.
That fucking ink pad. That fucking stamp. It's just it's a haven of bacteria and sweat and grime. And you know that some of the people that are going to see these kids have been, changing oil all day, so their fucking hands are like mechanic black. You know?
It just
that
it
permanent stain on a mechanic's hand.
I try so hard, and then and I was tempted to say to her, "Listen, I'd rather not, I didn't want to make a scene, but." I try not to look at anybody at the recital because if I saw somebody there that made me nervous,
yeah,
I'd be up a creek.
So do you try and see who's there or get a feel of who's there before you let them stamp you? Do you ever refuse to stamp ever?
I don't know if I've ever refused because I don't want to make a scene, but in this case she stamped me without me even looking. I wasn't even prepared for it.
Oh my god. Oh Jesus.
Sweaty
stamp. And it doesn't come off that easy.
What I was going to say is, as a kid, when you get that stamp, you could tell who were the dirty kids because they would still have it on the next day.
They have, and it's intact. It looks like they just got it. you'll call somebody dirty because they have like a little bit of a remnant of it.
Yeah.
But then there are the actual dirty kids who are still wearing the same clothes and haven't even fucking made effort one to get that shit off.
There was
fucking Brillo
this
pad.
One kid I used to go to school with. He would wear the same clothes two days in a row because that's how they would have the washing cycle. So after the second day, then he would wash it. But he would always wear the clothes 2 days in a row, same clothes. But yeah, so you could see what, and then you'd make fun of the kid for saying, "Ew, you didn't take a shower. You still have that thing on your hand. That's disgusting." Or like tattoos, a little stick on tattoos or something like that. But
yeah. I mean, it's just fucking disgusting. It is. Yeah. But you know what? It's part of it. I mean, you don't want to be the guy that isn't let back into the dance recital. No,
well,
never.
I never usually leave, so it doesn't matter. But when you were a child, how often? Like when you were in grammar school, I'm assuming you take a shower every day. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. When you were in grammar school, what was your shower frequency?
You know what? I don't even remember. I know it wasn't every day.
For me, it was every other day.
Yeah. I know it wasn't every day, but you get to that point where it's like, you know, you're not a little kid anymore, and you start having that stank. You get that musty smell on you, and you need to start fucking bathing every day, and that's when it happens. But yeah, kids just, you know, don't fucking bathe every day.
Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting, but it was incredible back then when you were a kid and you didn't want to take a bath. It was like the worst thing ever. I don't know. Speaking of taking a bath, you know, anybody who bet on Andrei Arlovsky, you definitely took a bath. I don't know if you've even heard of
I've heard about this event. I've seen the fight, and it's a goddamn embarrassment.
Andrei Arlovsky's a guy that was the champion of UFC, right? He had a decent title reign. He beat people. He was pretty exciting in the ring. He was funny because he speaks broken English, and foreigners are hilarious. And now it just seems that every fucking fight, if he's not cheating, he's getting his ass destroyed. And basically, he lost to a man named Brett Rogers, who's a big, fat, black dude with a mohawk. And we found out that Brett Rogers, before fighting Arlovsky, had quit his job at Sam's Club Wholesale Outlet, where he was installing tires on cars to face Arlovsky and become a full-time fighter, and basically defeated Arlovsky with his clever strategy of punching him in the face once. Arlovsky got hit in the head, and it was out. Anytime the guy loses so quickly, it's because he's fucking just gone after one hit. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this? Hello. I hear noises, Frank. Do you hear the noises?
I hear some kind of growl.
It sounds like someone's shitting. It is. This is somebody shitting. How does that make you feel, Frank?
I'm sickened as we are still listening to this.
Well, I mean, the caller has called up, and it seems that he's put his cell phone in between his legs while he's shitting. Which is now his phone.
How are you able to deduce this?
Because maybe I've done it, Frank.
Oh.
But you need to know, caller, that you need to wipe that phone down. Even though it doesn't look shitty, you can rest assured that it is completely shitty. So. Oh, man. Someone has a little bit of a rumbly.
Wow.
You hear that one, Frank?
Yeah, he's definitely percolating.
Oh, he is. He absolutely is. How does that make you feel? Do you get the visual? Of this guy sitting on the
ball. Of course I have a visual. I have a visual of some guy sitting in a dark
room. His fucking pants around his ankles.
Yes.
He's crouching down. He's got his fucking LG or Motorola fucking under his balls, amplifying the shit noise.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's pretty drawn out. And obviously getting faker sounding, caller. Getting faker sounding. Should have stopped while you were ahead, caller. We almost had Frank on the ropes. I appreciate it, fake shitter. Thank you for calling the show. But yeah, doing that is the best. When somebody says hello and they're expecting to hear from you, they see your name on their little fucking cell phone display, and all they hear is you shitting. And the only person I've done that to, Frank, is you.
Yes.
So you must feel very, very privileged.
Although I have you are the only one who done that, but as we were mentioning before, Dan and Cal, he has talked to me on the phone while he's pissed outside, and I can hear his.
I will frequently be on the phone while shitting and pissing, and I think nothing of it.
Yeah,
I mean, you get offended.
It's offending. You're offending me because you're saying to me that I'm equivalent to shit and piss.
I didn't necessarily say that, nor did I clue you into what I was doing. You happen to hear maybe a flush or something like that. I mean, when I do it, I'm not holding the phone like we imagined the fake caller to be doing. I'm just, you know, sitting there talking as I'm shitting. And naturally, I'm a clean guy. I've got to flush the waste away. So I flush the toilet, and you hear the ka-chung, ka-chung, whoosh, and you go, ah, come on! You start screaming your head off.
It's disrespectful to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. Disrespect, however, is all that is due to Andrei Arlovsky. I just want to say I'm not a big fan anymore.
You know what? His time is done. He's just like Bob Backlund. He's got to go away.
Yeah, or Kimbo Slice. You remember Kimbo Slice, Frank?
I do remember Kimbo Slicey.
Yeah, Kimbo what?
Kimbo Slicey. Oh, Slice. Kimbo,
yeah,
Slice.
Just Slice. But yes. However, Kimbo Slice is making, he's trying to make his run at a comeback. You may remember him as the guy who was beaten by a homosexual on one day's notice.
Well, who's the guy in charge of UFC?
The guy in charge of UFC is
Ryan White.
Yes, Ryan White.
Okay. Ryan White said that he would never allow Kimbo Slice to be on his card. He's putting him on his card.
Ryan White was the kid who got AIDS in the 90s. Dana White.
Dana White. Yes. Dana White.
Yes. Jesus Christ. It's Dana White. He said that he would never use the freak angle. He would never bring Kimbo in as a fighter just to get numbers. But apparently he's letting Kimbo have a shot on The Ultimate Fighter, which is a reality show. Are you aware of this, Frank, The Ultimate Fighter?
Yes, I am.
Contestants vie for a spot and a contract and some cash prizes or whatever and a title shot. I don't know, whatever the fuck. On this show, The Ultimate Fighter. And one of the contestants, Kimbo Slice. What are your thoughts? Do you think he's going to make it? Do you think, how long into the show do you think he's going to last?
All right, what you have, Kimbo Slice is what we call an internet sensation. He made his bones on fighting on YouTube.
That's true.
And things of that nature. And it's sort of a Cinderella story.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't end with a happy after all.
I mean, this
because he proved that he could not win, and he lost. Now by getting the second chance, let's hope that he will make something of himself.
I mean, this would be like Tay Zonde on American Idol. This would be like Mr. Shy City on America's Got Talent. I mean, an internet sensation going and trying to make it. But however, Kimbo's already had his shot. He's already been on network television. He's already done this. He's gotten flattened by an actual fighter. So maybe he's done some training. I don't know. I don't expect things to be too great from him. So I think he's going to be a fairly early exit. He's going to make a fairly early exit from The Ultimate Fighter. I don't know. I don't even watch it. I watched like one season. But I might watch this. So, I mean, the ploy of having him on, it's working. I mean, I probably will watch more episodes of this than Daisy of Love, which I'm already pretty much done with. I mean, you haven't watched it, correct?
I don't even know if it was on this past Sunday, yeah. but I have not watched it. I'm starting with The Charm School now with Ricky Lake as the headmistress.
Oh, and your girl, Bebe Bay?
I'm not familiar
with
her.
She claims to be the Martin Luther King of Charm School. I don't know if it was Bebe Bay, but one of the contestants of Real Chance of Love has decided that there's too much drama and she needs to become the Martin Luther King of the house. And she decides that she's going to make a stand right then and there. And then I stopped watching forever because it's a horrible show. It's basically the Ricky Lake show on VH1. That's basically what it is. They've taken the same format, formula, and everything.
You got to give Ricky Lake credit, though. I mean, she was obese. She's kept the weight off. You got to give her credit.
Do I? I don't think I have to give Ricky Lake any form of credit. What I do have to do is thank everybody for tuning into the DJ Newstyle Show.
Wait. Could you stop the music for a second,
yes,
please?
Sure. Go ahead.
I want to make a special shout-out to a good friend of ours.
Yes.
Alex Tidbit. 88.
Yes.
He's in the hospital tonight. I hope he's listening. I want to wish him the best and tell him that we love him and get well soon.
I wish him well. I hope he stays as strong as he had done in the past. And if he does, there's no doubt in my mind that he'll beat it. And I know he'll fare better than Dan in NorCal, who has passed on. God bless him. Frank, is there anything that you would like to say?
Yes, there is. But this is us! Yeah, no. Shut up! You're talking to a fucking sign. I'm going to kick all your friends' ass. Outside. Wani. Hey, Ken, is there anything that you would like to say?
Not enough cream cheese. It's a fucking snooze. Shit, I can't even fit out of the damn window. Fuck face. Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
right, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hot shot! Hot shot! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana! Fuck you!